If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat thoughts to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same, but worse. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's going to start here.
Yes, yes. Episode 60. I'm only kidding. It's episode 67. Faked you guys out. Master of accents, master of voices. The Keith Murray of boxing specific podcast is back with another knock 'em out the box. Episode 67. It's me, the left, right, left kid, holding it down semi solo with my interim co host, Mr. Irish Billy. Billy, what's up?
Hello. How are you?
Mikeless Billy. Mikeless Billy in the studio.
We're a mess tonight. We're a mess.
We're a mess. We're Pazless. We're Mikeless. It's becoming par for the course with this show.
But we got to get in touch with the people.
Right. We got to get the content out to you guys. We don't want you guys to miss a Wednesday drop. So, you know, we're injured, so to speak. We're playing injured. We got a bum leg, you know. We're shorthanded. We're shorthanded. No subs tonight. That said, Billy, how was your week?
You had
a couple weeks off, like me, right? From the pod.
I got to enjoy a little vacation while you were vacationing.
Yeah. That's Billy and I, you and I have it worked out where when I go away, you kind of take a little recess yourself, huh?
Yeah.
Pazzy went solo last week, so he's returning the favor. And I'm going to go solo on this one, guys. I hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's doing good. And I hope you guys stick around with me. But so I'm going to get right into it, Bill.
Do it.
Some surprising, not surprising big news has happened in the world of PBC, Premier Boxing Champions. The worst kept secret in boxing is that PBC is broke. As you know, Showtime is out of the boxing business. PBC had some, it was like a, I don't know if you want to call it exclusivity deal because they did have stuff on other networks, but Showtime was their premier outlet for PBC. That went away late last year. The last PBC show was in December, and PBC didn't have a home. Vinny and I reported on here, PBC, and everybody knew, it's again, not a secret, not breaking news, that PBC was going to use Amazon Prime as a platform. They have not set a date. I believe the first date will be Tank Davis, which is a good fight, and the Ghost. They will be fighting on PBC. That's breaking news, not breaking news. So we got Frank Martin and Tank Davis, but bigger news with PBC is that the, for lack of a better term, and I hate using this term because Tank Davis likens himself as this, the face of boxing, Canelo Alvarez, who signed a multi-fight deal with PBC, reportedly, and I believe this announcement was sort of leaked onto various social media outlets, various online publications. Canelo Alvarez will be leaving PBC and re-signing with Eddie Hearn's Matchroom. He famously signed with Matchroom some years back and had an exclusivity deal with DAZN, which is where we saw DAZN break their no pay-per-view rule. So PBC reportedly cannot afford Canelo Alvarez's minimum of $35 million a fight. Matchroom is going to absorb Canelo again, and we will likely get Golden Boy's Jaime Munguia and Canelo Alvarez on May 4th for an all-Mexican showdown at 168 pounds. What does this mean? It means that A, PBC may not have much money, and B, Matchroom and DAZN get an uptick in Canelo eyeballs. Remains to be seen if people want to see Canelo fight the Jaime Munguias of the world. Rumor had it that Edgar Berlanga might be next for Canelo Alvarez. Edgar Berlanga and Jaime Munguia was also talked about as a fight between two young 168-pounders, relatively young 168-pounders, two guys who have been around for a while, but a Mexican-Puerto Rican showdown nonetheless at 168 pounds. That looks to be scrapped, Berlanga, Munguia, and it looks like it will be Jaime Munguia and Canelo Alvarez on DAZN May 4th. Canelo Alvarez will be re-signed to Matchroom, no longer with PBC. What this means for PBC, the 168-pound landscape? Well, another bit of news. David Benavidez will move up to 175 pounds, where he will fight Gvozdyk. Oleksandr Gvozdyk came out of retirement a couple of years ago. He was beaten badly by Artur Beterbiev. He's got great wins on his resume. He's a good fighter, tough fighter, Eastern European guy, goes by the Nail. So Benavidez and Canelo will not happen May 4th. Again, now we're getting into promotional alliances and allegiances. And Benavidez and David Morrell will not happen. David Morrell's a Cuban fighter, PBC affiliation, was also, rumored to maybe in a Canelo mix, highly unlikely because he's dangerous, unheralded, young, not enough fights, and probably give Canelo fits size-wise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So these stones will remain unturned. What this means is the criticism of Canelo as of late, which is that he is ducking David Benavidez now moves up to 175 pounds. I'm not sure if David Benavidez moves back down. The option at PBC would be David Morrell and Edgar Berlanga. Would be David Morrell and I don't know who. Edgar Berlanga is now with Matchroom on DAZN. Don't know who he fights. I'll be reviewing his fight later in the episode. We'll be talking more about Edgar Berlanga. In my opinion, he shouldn't have even been named mentioned by Canelo Alvarez. But this is big news. This is huge. I don't know what the plans for PBC. We've talked about this ad nauseum, multiple episodes in a row. We don't know what a multi-fight deal at Amazon Prime means. We don't know what PBC going forward. Again, Vinny mentioned last episode that I wasn't there, that we've seen guys now split, Subriel Matias being one of them. Now their biggest name and the biggest star in boxing, Canelo Alvarez. A couple episodes, Vinny and I had talked about Tank Davis being courted by Matchroom. My prediction is that PBC remains a player, but PBC will now have to start crossing the street or they'll be left alone and guys will just allow contracts to expire. Guys need to fight make livings for their family, that make livings for themselves, also stay sharp. If PBC cannot provide the opponents, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. So you have Golden Boy and Matchroom on DAZN, Top Rank on ESPN. We've seen those companies cross the street and match guys against each other. PBC is less inclined to do that, although we've seen PBC in the past four big fights allow guys to cross the street. In other news. So anyway, before I get into other news, this is a good thing, I think, and a bad thing in a way. Hopefully, this empowers some of the other guys that are beholden to PBC to leave and realize that the ship is sinking, and it will make for future fights on other networks with more accessibility and a larger platform, such as ESPN, DAZN, and whatever else is in the future. I don't think Amazon Prime is really going to be a great thing for PBC and for boxing. With that said, more news from the 140-pound weight class. April 20th, we have Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia's all but finalized at the Barclays Center. Ryan Garcia is trying to refuse the Barclays Center and make the fight in Vegas. This kid's such a diva, it disgusts me. Barclays is he's claiming that it's a Vegas-style fight and that Devin Haney is a Vegas-based fighter, and there's more Mexican-Americans, I guess, in Las Vegas, or it's closer to Southern California and Arizona, New Mexico, et cetera. But there is a huge Mexican, most people don't realize this, there's a huge Mexican population right here in New York, especially in the five boroughs, especially in Brooklyn, and especially in Sunset Park, which is like a mile and a half from the Barclays Center. They will get a large Mexican fan base there. Also brings boxing back to New York. You want to fight in New York. Barclays is a great, is almost a historic boxing venue at this point. So there's been great fights there, great exchange of, it's a fighting borough, Brooklyn. Great, you know, there's been exchanges of belts. This Ryan Garcia kid is unbearable. I mean, I'm sure it'll sell out. He should want to go to different areas of the country to fight. He's beyond the, typically, when a fighter is in the prospect era, you want him to build his fan base near his home. And then once he gets larger, you can move him to different parts of the country where you can, you know, sort of, you know, expose to more fans, because he's already going to have his core fans. They'll tune in. Now you can go gain and gather new fans elsewhere. Both of these guys are at the stage of gaining and gathering new fans. They're no longer prospects. Obviously, Devin Haney is undisputed at 35. He's moved up to 40. He's fought all over the world. He's won titles all over the world. Devin Haney's not objecting to the Barclays Center. It's a great venue. Don't know if I'll be attending. That's my daughter's third birthday. So I don't know if Knock Him Out the Box will have a presence at that fight. There's a possibility because fights go on late. So I don't know. What do you think, Billy?
Give me a call. I'll make the ride up 95.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Get a little Killer Bees action.
Okay.
I don't think we'll make it home from that. That's the problem.
That's the point, not the problem.
That's the point. We could talk off air about the access we'd have at that sucker. That would be a lot of fun. But we'll get into that later. I don't understand the mentality of this kid. I don't understand. He's refused fights in the past. He's also made a big fight in the tank fight. I believe he originally refused the Devin Haney fight. He did refuse the Devin Haney fight. Now it's back on. I guess he couldn't find a big enough substitute. It's a good fight between two young guys. I think I said it on the show. I think Haney stops him late, but Haney doesn't really stop people, but I don't think much of Ryan Garcia. But it is what it is. This is the era we live in. This kid is before he was a boxing star, he was an internet sensation, Instagram sensation for hitting mitts in his garage with his dad and his brother. You know, I believe he was a nationally ranked or champion amateur. So I give his amateur background and pedigree some props. I just think he's an undisciplined professional. I actually think he's got natural talent. He doesn't hone it. He's fast. He's got some power, but he doesn't really seem to want to work on it. I keep seeing the same mistakes every fight, which is not tucking his chin. He throws too many punches flat-footed. He doesn't move his head offline. So there's things he could work on. He's choosing not to, I believe. He changes trainers a lot. Derek James is his trainer now. That's Errol Spence's trainer and also Frank Martin's trainer. The Frank Martin Tank fight, a lot of people are saying this is probably Tank's best opponent. It's definitely Martin's best opponent. As that fight approaches, Vinny and I'll obviously do a breakdown of that fight. It'll probably be the marquee matchup for Knock Him Out the Box, that Knock Him Out the Box episode. That fight will sell. I don't know where the venue, if they've agreed on a venue yet, but I know that they've agreed on a fight. So props to Martin and Tank for making that fight. It's much better than what we thought was going to happen, which was Tank and Pitbull on Amazon. So that'll be the Amazon fight. Tank Davis, Frank Martin. It's a good fight. Again, as it approaches, we'll talk more about it. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts on the Canelo mess. Is he ducking David Benavidez? Is this a matter of, you know, just contract bullshit? Should or can, I don't know the inner workings of these contracts. Can Canelo back off his $35 million minimum? Should he back off a $35 million minimum? Should Canelo be making $35 million for fighting the likes of Jaime Munguia? It's hard to tell a guy not to earn what people are willing to pay him. Rumors going around that he's ducking David Benavidez. David Benavidez's father conducted an interview where Benavidez's father said Canelo offered him $5 million. He shot back, said Benavidez makes $7 million. Then he said, we accepted the fight for $5 million, but Canelo's people saying that's bullshit. Then they made the Oleksandr Gvozdyk fight. So it's, and I'm sure he's getting good money for the Gvozdyk fight. Samson Lukowicz, his handler and manager, put out a tweet that said that they had a $55 million purse for Canelo and Benavidez. Then we find out PBC can't pay the $35 million minimum. It's a mess. Here's what I believe. I believe PBC ain't got the cash. Canelo's going to leave them flat. I believe PBC doesn't have the money to stage a Canelo-David Benavidez fight. If they did, I believe that fight, we'd be seeing that fight. If not in May, definitely in September. I think that PBC shot their wad last year, AO, with all the big fights they made in 2023. And again, that was a fire sale. So that said, you know, it is what it is. It's boxing. So if you follow the sport, you have to follow the business of the sport. It's just the way it goes. It's unfortunate. But I think in most sports, right, Bill? I mean, you're a big sports fan. You know what your favorite stars get paid. You know, people follow salary cap, why the Phillies or whoever can't sign this guy, or, you know, why the Sixers are going after this guy, why they can't go after this guy, who's on the block, who's this, who's that. It's the same sort of thing. It's just with boxing, we have to do it with the promotional outlets, right? And we're obviously, we've been for years and years in the four belt era. So politics is part of it, but I don't think where it's exclusive in boxing that two champions, two people call themselves champions without fighting each other, it's not following the sport and following the business of the sport is not exclusive to boxing. Agreed? You sort of got to follow the, you know, your favorite team, why they didn't get X player or Y player, why a guy left, free agency, etc. All right, so that being said, if you guys woke up early on Saturday, you got to see a masterclass, another Japanese masterclass, and this time at bantamweight, and it was the Junto Nakatani, Alexander Santiago fight. I hope everybody got to tune in for that. I had to work Saturday because I was away last week, and so I basically had the ESPN Plus on in my pocket, and I listened to it on my AirPods while I was working. So it's kind of old school, like an old school radio broadcast. I watched the knockout and the stoppage. This guy Nakatani probably had the knockout of the year last year. He's now in his third division, obliterating guys. Santiago had never been stopped previously, and Nakatani made short work of him. It wasn't close. Nakatani moves to 26-0. Santiago had previous wins over Nonito Donaire, Antonio Nieves. His only loss was to Gary Antonio Russell. His only loss recently was to Gary Antonio Russell. Nakatani moves to 27-0, not 26-0, with 20 knockouts. I don't know what's going on, but the lighter Japanese guys are really hot right now. They're carrying the sport in those smaller divisions. They're fun to watch. Big punchers go for the knockout. It's not a criticism. The only thing that for us Western Hemisphere people is that you have to tune in at oddball times to watch these fights. I think this was the main event was like 7 or 8 in the morning on Saturday. But this was a great showcase. And again, Nakatani captures belts. This is incredible. You know, again, third division. This was for the WBC World Bantamweight title. Hopefully we see some unifiers going forward in this division. And I know you didn't watch, Bill. That's too early for you on a Saturday.
What's that supposed to mean?
Huh? It just means, you know, you work really hard during the week, and you deserve to sleep in as a father of three on Saturdays.
Deserve to or actually get to? What are we talking about?
Well, I'm saying is, you know, you're a hardworking gentleman. Okay. And I just wanted to say that I'm not judging how much you drink on Friday nights. You know, I'm just saying that you deserve to sleep in on a Saturday. You're not going to get up to watch 218 pound guys, not from America, pummel one another. Also on that card and who scored a knockout was Naya Inoue's brother, Takuma Inoue. He wins a belt at Bantam. Do they make Nakatani Inoue? I'd like to see that fight. Can they make? I don't know what the politics of Japanese boxing are. If you do, please write us at kotbboxing@gmail.com, kotbboxing@gmail.com. Kick.com. He scored a knockout. So these guys are just abusing the rest of these little guys, the Japanese guys. We have another small Japanese guy who's in our preview section that I'll talk about. I don't know much about him. I admittedly haven't done research on him. I will before Saturday's fight. I'm going to YouTube him and see what he does. I don't know if Billy Betts wants to put in some work for that. We got some interesting stuff for you maybe later.
Okay. You know,
little guys, some sort of no big fights, no big marquee matchups this weekend. The Jake Paul's fighting this weekend, but Vinny and I don't really pay attention and or cover his fights. You may be able to put some Clamorinos on that sucker. I don't know what the odds are, but for the purposes of Billy Betts, maybe we look into that a bit. Before I get into the Paddy McGrory, Edgar Belanga showdown, I wanted to just touch on Andy Cruz. Andy Cruz moves to, I think, 3-0. Let me just confirm this. He was on the undercard of the Berlanga fight. Let me see, where are we at? Of course, I go to BoxRec and they give his amateur record was like 149-12. He fought this guy, Brian Zamarripa, this weekend. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, but anyway, that was in Orlando. I'm really impressed with Andy Cruz. He's trained by Bozy Ennis. Last name Ennis strike you as anything, Billy? That's Boots, Jerome Boots Ennis' father. We talk about Boots a lot on this show. Boots is a Philly guy. You should be wearing his merch, I think, as a Philly guy yourself. I think that's, we'll get you some boot stuff. We'll put it on the Knock 'Em Out the Box tab.
There you go.
Get you a full kit, full boots kit.
I'm in.
Nice. Cruz looked fantastic. I don't know. I hope you guys watched it. I hope you guys tuned in for that undercard. It was far more entertaining than the main event. He's sort of a cutie who can punch. He's got high ceiling for entertainment value, I think. He's not like some Cuban guys who fight in a Cuban style that we've seen in the past where they're methodical, but some call boring. He's a spectator's favorite kind of fight. Casual fans, I think, will also appreciate him. I hope we see a lot more of Andy Cruz. He looked great. Very athletic guy. Punches from all angles. Real slick on his feet. Slick on defense. Real good work. Mid-range. Shoe shines. Moves. A lot of fun. Seems to have a charged up battery in his back. Tons of energy. And I really, really, really enjoyed watching him fight. So I'm actually, I don't know, some of these guys, we can't really put them as prospects because their extensive amateur record, they get title shots like in their sixth fight. But right now, Andy Cruz is like in my top five prospects that I really want you guys to check out. Fantastic fighter out of Cuba. I don't know if he's living in Philly, Bill, or he's living in Florida like a lot of those guys do. But he's got the goods. I think he's got the personality. I think him and David Morrell, two of the young Cuban defectors, we see really making a name for themselves in the sport. I just hope Morrell can get a fight. I hope Morrell can get a better promoter. Doesn't have to deal with, or management team, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I'm just going to jump right into it. Edgar Berlanga and Padraig McGrory, you as Irish Billy would appreciate this Gaelic name. He spells his name like P-O-D-R-A-I-G. I've never seen that before. He goes by Paddy McGorry.
Great name.
He was stiff as a board. I mean, and it appeared Berlanga still struggled with him. I know Vin on the previous episode, Pazzy Picks, was that he wouldn't be surprised if McGorry gave him a tough time. I don't disagree with Vin. We could still put this into Pazzy Picks. Berlanga certainly didn't have an easy time of it. I mean, if you look on paper, it says 6-round knockout.
Yeah, Pazzy Picks steered me in the wrong direction. We were texting afterwards, and he said the Irish is going to go the distance.
So you're throwing him under the bus.
It was his official Pazzy pick that he sent me.
Son of a... All right. I'm trying to be a nice guy.
Right before that, I was just looking through. I had texted, you know, he was telling me that Berlanga was 21-0 with 16 knockouts, but hasn't had a knockout since 2020. And I said,
right,
you know, the Berlanga KO or TKO line is +148. How are we feeling on that? And he said, the Irish is going to go the distance. And then he proceeded to batter me with Happy St. Paddy's Day memes.
Oh, nice. Was it people vomiting and other derogatory things towards Irish people?
Correct.
Right. You know,
think is the official first incorrect Pazzy pick that he's given me since we started the segment.
Hmm. So I think it's all downhill from here. I think we have a new mush. I think episode 67, Irish Billy exposes Paz as the new mush. So it's all downhill from here for Vinny. That's it. He peaked.
We're going to do a Brendan Picks segment later.
We might do a Brendo Picks.
All right.
We might do a Brendo Picks. I didn't know what Berlanga we were going to see. Previous bill to 2020, Berlanga went by the monster, okay, because he was knocking guys out, 16 knockouts in a row, 16 first round knockouts in a row, I believe, or 16 knock first 16 fights, 16 knockouts. Then competition steps up, Berlanga's performances go down. Did that go hand in hand? He also didn't look like he was in shape. He looked frustrated out there, maybe too much too soon, too much hype. Top Rank was really hyping this kid, giving him showcase events on ESPN. And in the last year, Top Rank has dropped him. He's got picked up by Matchroom. And no one knows what Berlanga we're going to see. He certainly thinks he's going to be the next big Puerto Rican star. The actual Puerto Rican celebrity fan base, and let's call them escorts, to borrow some wrestling parlance, is the likes of Fat Joe and other, recording artists, actors, actresses. I know if you follow Rosie Perez on Twitter, she cheers for her fellow New Yorican from Brooklyn. So that said, Berlanga wins by 6-round KO, but Jesus Christ, he's got a lot to work on. I don't know if I've seen a guy stuck in the early rounds after being a monster in the early rounds, getting started. I don't think he threw one punch in the first round of this fight. McGrory was moving around the ring. Berlanga really wasn't firing the jab. He looks hesitant to fire the jab. He did start to open up a little bit once the second round hit. And when he did throw his jab, he had some success with it. He just doesn't throw the jab enough. He looks to be in a sort of lost state while he's in there. He doesn't seem comfortable. That's the biggest takeaway I have from this, that he doesn't ever seem comfortable. Usually guys that are have this much hype behind them, when they're in a match with the likes of a Patty McGorry of the world, who's a solid guy, but by no means a dangerous guy. He had 9 knockouts. Certainly a guy, he had never been stopped, but certainly a guy that, you know, someone of Berlanga's pedigree should be able to handle. You know, he was an undefeated guy, 18-9. His best win, I guess, was like Marco Antonio Parabon, who's hasn't been good in 10 years. McGorry is a regional guy. And again, match two undefeated fighters at 168 pounds. Edgar Berlanga coming from the United States and being an former ESPN fighter. This is the kind of easy work someone of this caliber should put away. Again, here come the boo birds for Berlanga. He's looked like not what he looked like in his first 16 fights or 17 fights. And he didn't look much better in this fight. Again, doesn't let his hands go, doesn't look comfortable, doesn't jab enough. Although this fight, I did notice that he picked up the pace on the jab, but doesn't double and triple the jab. He's headhunting. When he did work the body, as he did in this fight, he looked fantastic. So there's sort of flashes of the guy we used to see who would kind of let the knockouts come to him and where they would come fast. And now this version of Berlanga, where he appears to be forcing the knockout, and he's not seeing anywhere near the same success. So again, what do we point to here? We point to probably too much hype, too many yes men, not training enough, not necessarily living the lifestyle. He's 6'1", but I don't feel like he's a huge 168 pounder. And again, a guy like McGorry is a guy he should dispose of. Although again, McGorry had never been knocked out and he was undefeated. So even if Berlanga didn't knock him out, it shouldn't have been a difficult test to cruise to victory. Berlanga got him in the 6th round. Eddie Hearn predicted the 6th round. So for the tinfoil hat folks out there, maybe, you know, you can go down in the 6th, McGorry. But I don't know. I'm just putting that out into the universe. It was like a right hand up top, which got him. But McGorry was hurt before that. He hit him with a huge body shot right before that in the corner, left hand. Like I said, Berlanga did suffer a cut in this fight. I don't know the extent of it. And Berlanga I don't want to sit here and criticize a guy who won by knockout, but he doesn't get his head off center line enough. He doesn't throw enough jabs, certainly doesn't throw enough punches. I don't know how he'd fare against the upper echelon of 168-pound division. I know that David Morrell, who released a statement today that says, and I quote, "Berlanga sucks and I would destroy him." That's what, because they're talking about possibly making that fight. I think Canelo would make short work of Berlanga. I think he'd abuse him. I don't think Berlanga would get past Jaime Munguia. And I don't know at 26 years old if there's much more wrinkles we're going to see to his game that are going to be improved upon that we can say, all right, Edgar Berlanga, it deserves to be ranked in the top 10, top 8, top 6, top 5 of this division. Who can he beat in this division? I look around the landscape of 168 pounds and if they could, I would say make the Christian Billy fight. I know Caleb Plant, who's signed with PBC, but who knows where, again, what the future of that is. If they could poach some PBC guys, get them over to Matchroom, Matchroom, and they need a dance partner for Berlanga, I think. I mean, I'm looking right now. I think Munguia beats him. Benavidez absolutely kills him. Alvarez beats him. And old Sergey Derevchenko, that those guys have trained together. Derevchenko's lost like, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of his last 5. I don't think it would be a hard fight to make. Derevchenko also fought Danny Jacobs. They were fought out of the same gym, so I don't think Berlanga would be adverse to taking that fight. I don't think Derevchenko would be adverse to taking that fight. I don't know. I think they could make the fight. I think it might be too dangerous for Berlanga as far as the business of boxing is concerned, but that guy's going to be in for a tough ride at 68. 68 stacked. Even the guys coming off of losses are very good. And there are guys that need dance partners and possibly promotional outfits. If I'm a 168 pounder, I'm licking my chops at the marketability of Berlanga and his place and position at Matchroom. If I'm Caleb Plant, I'm looking to come to Matchroom. If I'm David Morrell, I'm looking to come to Matchroom. So it remains to be seen. But anyway, Berlanga wins by 6-round knockout. He jumps on the top rope like he just became undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. I turned it off right after that. I don't bother with his post-fight interviews because I think he's full of shit. So I know they called out Canelo right after it. Canelo, it's ridiculous. I think the loser of Canelo, which is loser of Canelo Munguia, which is likely going to happen in 2 months. I say the loser of that fight Berlanga, which I'm going to go ahead and say it's Munguia is going to lose that fight. Make Munguia Berlanga. I think that's the best fight for Berlanga, best fight for Munguia. And it gets Berlanga's career sorted, whether it's positive or negative. Guys still got a lot to work on. They did their job in getting him a knockout. He did his job in scoring that knockout. But again, doesn't throw enough punches. He's there to entertain, does not entertain. Doesn't cut a great promo. And again, to Paz's point, to Billy's point, if you don't score the knockouts and you're the monster, which now change your name to the Chosen One, and you don't get the flashy knockout or the brutal knockout, because this really wasn't a brutal knockout. It was more like you wore him down and then kind of put him away. It's not enticing to see the first 3 rounds just be a total stinker. So again, winning over the new fans, bringing the lapsed fans back, Berlanga's not doing that. And as like an ambassador to Puerto Rico, because he has a lot of ties to the island. A lot of his family lives there. I believe he's bilingual. Not sure if those guys are going to tune in, but maybe too much too soon. We'll see what happens. Coming up Saturday on ESPN Plus, we got Luis Alberto Lopez versus Raya Abe. And I don't know how to pronounce those Japanese names when their last name is Abe, A-B-E. I believe the former like prime minister of Japan who was he assassinated? I think he was. His last name was Abe. Shinjo Abe. This is Raya Abe, who I've admittedly never seen fight. We know who Luis Alberto Lopez is. All right. Luis Alberto Lopez is on a hell of a run. So he beat Josh Warrington, knocked out Mick Conlon. He beat Joette Gonzalez, and now he's fighting Raya Abe, and his IBF featherweight title is on the line. This is on ESPN Plus, guys, on Saturday. It's a fun fight. This is here in New York at Turning Stone. Turning Stone is up near Canastota, near the Boxing Hall of Fame. There's a casino up there. I've never been to it. It's like 5 hours away from me. But they do put on good fights there, and the broadcast looks nice. I'd like to go to the ballroom there and see some fights eventually. But Raya Abe is a top five guy at Feather. Never been knocked out. He's got 10 KOs in 29 fights, so he's not a huge puncher. He beat Kiko Martinez. That looks to be his biggest win. That was in his last fight. Kiko is a Spanish veteran. He's fought everybody, so that's a great win for him. He hasn't lost since 2019. I'm thinking this one, Billy. Bet the over in this one. Okay. Lopez is 29-2 with 16 knockouts. So he's not a huge puncher. Okay. He's obviously got power, but he's not a huge puncher. And Abe seems to have a good chin. Lopez is on a great run. This is in this hemisphere. Do we have odds on that?
I'm checking now.
Okay. Well, Billy checks. I think a lot of times when it's not a, you know, huge marquee weekend, these are fun weekends for the boxing hardcore fans to get a guy like Luis Lopez, a featherweight, fighting a Japanese guy on ESPN Plus. So to me, these kind of fights are a treat. If you've watched Lopez, he's an action fighter. The fight with Josh Warrington was a great fight. The Mick Conlon knockout that really pops my co-host Vinny, who's not a Mick Conlon fan. And the Joette Gonzalez fight was Joette Gonzalez is a solid fighter. And that was in September. So tune in, guys. This he's good. He's 30. He's 5'4". Little guys. These are little guys. 30 is ancient at these smaller weight classes. Not ancient. This is like, it's not like the heavyweights where they sort of hit their prime at 34, 35. So we'll probably, you know, Lopez will be on the back end of his career now. This is when these guys make their money. So it's probably just really good high rank fights here on out.
So the round over under is 10.5 and under is favored.
Under is favored.
Or sorry, I read that wrong.
Over is favored. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Abe hasn't been knocked out, and Lopez is not a huge puncher. What are you going to take, Bill? You don't know yet, or that's a surprise for us?
I don't know. -235 for that over doesn't really entice me.
Doesn't entice you? Is there any other little bets throughout that you could kind of sweeten it up? Or you could do a little Pezzy parlay with the next fight.
Let's see what else we got.
All right. So we have Puerto Rican guy Jonathan Gonzalez, junior flyweight, fighting Rene Santiago, and that's for Gonzo's WBO junior flyweight title. Again, that's on DAZN, so it's the same time as the ESPN fight, which is fucking annoying that they do this. But that's part of the Jake Paul card, which Amanda Serrano is pioneering women's boxing and fighting 12-round fights. I don't know if this... She just fought not that long ago. But I don't know if this fight is 3-minute rounds. Her last fight was 3 minutes. Women typically fight 2-minute rounds. But anyway, this is, and they usually only fight 10 rounds. This is a 12 rounder. I don't know shit about her opponent other than that she's German, but this is part of that card. So I believe Serrano is headlining the card. Paul, who is the promoter, is fighting as the undercard. I don't really know how it works. He's obviously the draw, but he's trying to, through himself, promote and get eyes on the sport, promote his other fighters. So Gonzalez is also managed and or promoted by Jake Paul. So with that said, that's another one. Let's go to the tail of the tape on that sucker. We got Jonathan Gonzalez. What do you got odds on that one?
Dude, they're only for that. I think it's only showing the money line on my app.
Okay. So Santiago's never been knocked out, but he's only 12-3. Another Puerto Rican guy. He's a Tuto Zabala guy. I used to do Tuto Zabala cards from Kissimmee, Florida on Telemundo, Boxeo Telemundo on Friday night. I used to broadcast those. Gonzalez has 14 knockouts in 31 fights. He himself has been knocked out 3 times. So he seems to be afflicted with the Puerto Rican beard. Although Giovanni Segura is one of the guys who knocked him out, and he fucking knocked out everybody. Man, how old is this motherfucker? If he fought Segura 11 years ago? Jesus Christ. He has not fought in over a year. This could be interesting. I don't think it's going to be that interesting. I think Gonzalez is going to go the distance. But anyway, there's not much going on this weekend, boys and girls. So you got two little guys fighting on the two of the bigger streaming platforms. So tune in. These cards can be fun. You may discover a fighter. You may discover somebody you've never seen before. You may see a prospect. Again, you also may see a great fight. You may see an upset. Oftentimes, these guys are matched real well in order to make a big fight. That being said, did you lose money last week on Pazzi's? Oh,
$10.
Jesus Christ. What are we going to do?
And now I'm all wrapped up. I don't know which way I'm up or down from the Super Bowl. And
so you lost full faith in Pazzi after one bad weekend.
I didn't say that yet. You said that.
Your handicapper.
You said that. I didn't say that. All I said was this was the first loss he's given me. But he's given me many wins. So I'm not giving up. I'm just making a statement.
Right. I just think this is it. This is over. I think his
those are your words, not mine.
His reign on top is done. It's wow. He's due for some bad picks, you know.
Mushy Long's gonna turn it around.
Maybe, you know. I may get this car out of the mud. You know what I'm saying? Just yet. You know, I'm spinning my tires a little bit. But maybe I throw some fucking scuttle down on these.
Well, I was gonna say I'll take your bets as long as you're not betting them.
Yeah, I mean, I may throw some fucking scuttle down on these fights this weekend. But yeah, like you said, the odds aren't great. They typically don't give you great odds when it's kind of unknown guys. Although Luis Alberto Lopez is not unknown to boxing hardcores. It's just he's not a mainstream little guy. Guys, that really should be a fun fight. That's my fight pick of the week, so to speak. We don't really do that, but I think that's the one you guys should aim to watch, and you don't have much of a fucking choice this weekend. But anyway, with that said, we have no mail this week. Who are you guys on fucking vacation? The Nakis were on vacation. You know, you can write us, huh? They were on vacation with me. That's it. They listen to me. You guys can write us at keotbboxing@gmail.com, keotbboxing@gmail.com. Follow us on our Instagram page. Thank you, guys. We've gotten quite a bit of followers since we threw the page up. What are we, Vinny? Billy, what is that? What is our Instagram? At KOTB
Boxing. Yeah.
Boxing?
Yes.
On IG and at KOTB Podcast on the YouTube.
Correct.
We're all over the place.
We're moving and grooving.
What's next? Do we do a TikTok?
Only if you're running it from your personal account.
You don't want them tapping into your wallet, huh?
No, I want to see you do like dances and stuff. Isn't that what
you happens? Want me, oh, you want me to do? You want me to trend on TikTok? Do you want me to do the TikTok trends?
I do. We'll use Vinny's music, and you'll do a dance.
Only if Vinny starts making dance music. I think he should come out with a club mix. You know, his lyrics over like a, you know, just a mashup of Pazzy's club mix. He's a house fan. So I think he would do, if you mashed up like house beats or old freestyle beats over Vinny's rhymes, I think he'd approve of that. You know, and if he approves of that, you got your next TikTok star right here. Who's got two thumbs and is the next TikTok star? This guy right here, the old master of accents, the old master of impressions. You know, Bill, where can they find you? Or you don't want to be found, but you can find
trying to follow me, and I'll say no, but you know, that's fine.
All right, at the killer B24 on Twitter, and at @I_no_that_kid on Instagram. Again, solo mission tonight. We'll be back in full force next week with the proper microphones. And say goodbye, Billy.
Bye, guys.
Knock 'em out the box, pass. Knock 'em out the box, pass.